Moncrief on News Talk.
Tom Crawford is currently filling some very big shoes, metaphorically speaking. The presenter of Countdown, Rachel Riley, who has no doubt normal size feet, is taking a short break from the show, and yesterday saw the start of Tom filling in for her. Tom, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Had you ever been on Countdown before? Had you experience with the show?
I'd never been on it myself, but like most people, my experience was watching it. So I used to come home from school, Countdown would be on in the background, and I'd sit there and figure out the numbers puzzles.
Yeah, and so did the approach to you to take over from Rachel for a while, did that come totally out of the blue then?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I think what's happened is I'm used to doing lots of online teaching, lots of online content on YouTube and social media. And so I think somebody in the production team has figured, right, Rachel's away for a few weeks. We need to reach out to some people, see who might be interested. And, you know, I got an email, a few phone calls and a studio audition later. And here we are.
OK, and what did they make you do for the audition?
Oh, they were just, it was literally like they recreated a sort of, let's say, a low budget version of the show. So there's a couple of cameras pointed at me. There's a whiteboard, you know, the music's playing. And it was, right, here's your numbers. Here's your target. You've got 30 seconds. Can you figure it out and then talk us through the solution? So they fully just had me doing the numbers problems. I had to do about eight or so of them.
Right.
Back to back.
Okay. And so, but I assume that, will you just be doing the numbers problems or will you be doing letters as well?
Well, I mean, I'll be doing Rachel's role.
Yeah.
So I will, you know, the contestants will be saying, you know, I'll have a consonant, please, Tom.
Yeah.
And I'll be putting it on the board. But fortunately, I wasn't expected to come up with the words. Fortunately, Susie is still there. Along with the guest in Dictionary Corner each week. So
okay.
they will figure out the words. I just have to put them on the board. That's the easy bit.
Now, your day job is you're a mathematician at Oxford. So I assume they thought you were pretty well qualified on the basis of that. But I suppose it's mostly about you've is it on YouTube you have a large following where you do talk about maths?
Exactly. Yeah. So I recently, as of the end of last year, passed 30 million views on YouTube, which is crazy because it's quite frankly, it's just me talking about whatever maths problem I find interesting that week. So sometimes that. Record this. If my students at Oxford are struggling, I'm sure there will be students all around the world struggling. And so it's to sort of help everyone on their maths journey.
Okay, so it's more for people who are studying maths rather than kind of vaguely innumerate people such as myself.
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both because that's kind of the joy of you know, I feel like I have so much freedom with this. So I can, some weeks I'm looking at quite advanced university level problems, but then other weeks, you know, I made a video recently figuring out how to take a penalty kick in a game of football. You can turn it into a geometry problem and be like, where should I aim my penalty to maximize my chance of scoring? So something like that, I would hope, is more approachable and is sort of interest to people who might not normally want to engage with maths, but they think, oh, you know what, I like a good bit of football. Let's see what's going on. And maybe they'll sort of see the usefulness of the subject and perhaps be less scared of engaging with maths.
And the students that you have in Oxford, because, you know, certainly in this country, I'm sure in the UK as well, there's a large debate about getting more females involved in STEM subjects. What's the gender mixture in your classes?
So at Oxford, we're about one third female and two thirds male. So definitely could be better. But I think from my perspective, I've been teaching here now for 7 years. And each year we are seeing an upward trend. So I think, you know, there's lots of initiatives in terms of trying to show young girls studying maths and STEM subjects, you know, create showcasing people working in the field, trying to show them that it is possible for women, for girls to study these subjects and sort of become a world famous mathematician, just like Rachel, in fact, who obviously, yeah. I'm stepping, as you said, stepping into those rather big shoes for 3 weeks. But Rachel did a maths degree at Oxford. She was actually a few years above me. I didn't know her at the time, but she actually was at Oxford a few years prior to myself. So I think, you know, she is a great role model for young girls, showing that you can do a maths degree at Oxford and you can be on TV doing maths every day.
Yeah. And so, and actually, when you went in then, when they said you have the gig now, was Rachel there? You know, would she, did she tell you where to stand and how to, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. So before recording, I did go into the studio and spent a few days with the team. So getting to know Colin, of course, presenting, and Susie. And of course, Rachel was there because they were filming for another series of shows, you know, so like say last week's shows. So no, I did go in and sort of saw it all happen, got to meet everybody. And Rachel was great. You know, I actually met her about a year previous. We recorded some videos together around National Numeracy, which is a charity that we were both ambassadors for. So she's been really helpful. You know, she was giving me some of her secret tips for getting the numbers games right.
Okay. Oh, right. And there are secret tips then.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think one of the best ones was when you've got your target number, so your three digits, if you add them up and then the total is divisible by nine, then the whole number is divisible by nine. So, for example, if your target number is, let's say, 189, then if you do 1 plus 8, that gives you 9 plus 9 gives you 18. That's divisible by 9. So, therefore, 189 is divisible by 9.
Oh.
So it's just little tricks like this. So then, you know, if you've got a 9 in your six numbers, you're straight away thinking, what do I multiply that by to get the target? So there's a few little things in there. Yeah, definitely. Tricks of the trade, as
yeah,
it were, to help me on my way.
Has it happened to you that when you know, the contestants are given this target number and then they show how they reached it, that you look at that and go, God, I wish I'd thought of that?
There was a couple, yes. No, I'm happy to admit this, because these things are hard, right? It's the 30 seconds. Even for someone like myself, who's been, I've been studying maths my whole life and I spend all day thinking about maths and numbers. But 30 seconds is a very, very short time. So sometimes, often what happens is I have to very early, and it's the same for the contestant, you pick a route. Right. You sort of, it comes up and you think there's three or four ways I can approach this. I'm going to choose path one. And then if it works, you're golden, right? You'll probably get it in the 30 seconds. But if, you know, path one doesn't work, you've suddenly got 10 seconds left to try a different path. And then it's much more difficult to actually get that in the 30 seconds. So no, there were one or two where I have gone down one path. It's not worked out, but then the contestants got it. And I've thought, phew. So, you know, if they'd come to me, right, I'm happy to admit this. If they'd come to me, I would have been like, oh, I didn't quite get it in the 30 seconds, but the contestants saved me.
Interesting, though, that you know, since this news came out that you were going to be presenting Countdown, an awful lot of the media have focused on the fact that you have tattoos. Now, is it true all your tattoos are specifically maths related ones? You don't have like mum and dad on them or Lord of the Rings symbols.
So there's no mum and dad, but no, I have, I'm actually, my whole body is basically tattooed. So, you know, my back, my chest, my legs. But I have over 115 of them last time I counted are maths themed. So there's a good chunk of them that are maths, but no, I've sort of been getting tattooed now for a good 10 or 15 years. It's sort of, yeah. And as for most people, right, your tattoos, your designs, they often represent you as a person, represent your interests, perhaps things you enjoy. And so for me, it's natural that would include maths and equations, because that's what I spend most of my time thinking about.
Of course. Does that mark you out, though, as highly unusual in Oxford? Is Oxford really more like Hogwarts and, you know, some days they won't let you in because they think you're just some passing hobo?
I haven't been refused entry. I think the way I like to describe this to people is you're right. There is this kind of stereotypical image, perhaps, let's say, of Oxford and of university and of mathematicians in general. But at the same time, if it is still, you're still representing everybody, you're representing an entire population. So whilst the majority of people might look a certain way for various reasons, you know, traditional historical reasons, there are still going to be other people, just as there are unique people in, you know, all of Ireland, for example, there are going to be little pockets. And so I like to think I'm sort of representing the alternative, the kind of thinks he's a rock star, but really isn't kind of aspect of mathematicians.
Okay, well, you're a maths rock star. That's good enough. Tom, best of luck.
I'll take that. Thank you.
Best of luck with Countdown and indeed with your other work in Oxford and online. That was Tom Crawford there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.